the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
Oh, my signals are way too hot. Way too hot.
Too hot. He's hot. Too hot to trot.
We're both a little hot. It is February 25th.
That is correct.
Yeah. Tuesday at, what does your shirt say?
My shirt says, represent 1995.
What on earth does that
worldwide
mean?
I'll tell you what it means. Absolutely fucking nothing.
95 is the year I graduated from college.
95 is the year before the 96 Olympics.
It is the year.
I think the shirt is meant to evoke the idea of the Olympics.
Yeah, and now, you know, you probably have encountered this maybe, but you will encounter soon that you meet people that were born the year that you graduated.
Yes.
High school or college.
High school, for sure,
you probably have encountered.
I have, not a ton, because I graduated high school in 2005.
Right. So you're not meeting a lot of 15-year-olds?
Not meeting a lot of 15-year-olds.
Soon you will, though.
Soon I will be meeting people who are in 3 years going to be a... I don't even know that.
Well, especially because we are in comedy.
Yeah.
And we're also in improv comedy.
Yeah. So I do meet people who were born in like 2000.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing that I'll meet people who are like, oh, how, you know, what's going on? Oh my God, you're literally 20 years old.
Well, also you meet people that were born after 9/11.
Yes.
So to them, 9/11 is like Pearl Harbor or something.
Yeah. Because Pearl Harbor to some people is like, actually, I don't think there was a huge foreign attack on the soil.
When is like Bay of Pigs? This is a 70 something. That's like the year before I was born.
Yeah, that's like that. It's like after.
Anyway, we're old. I'm a little older than you are. You will be. Well, everybody, luckily everyone's aging at the same rate, I think.
Yes.
Because, although actually that's not really true.
People in space are not aging as quickly.
And people in... Technically, people like in Salt Lake City are aging slower than we are.
Yes. Very, very minutely. Over the course of 100 years, there might be a minute's worth of difference in that level of elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so if you want to live longer, go to Salt Lake City.
You know who's looking good in his old age?
Michael Jordan?
Oh, no. Michael Jordan is, yes, for sure, especially when he's weeping.
Weeping Michael Jordan.
No, I was going to say Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. He looks fantastic. Here's the thing. When Bill Russell was a young player, he looked old.
That's true.
And so I think he's just aged gracefully because he's always kind of looked a little old.
Yes. I think I said this recently about somebody, but someone in the league has like not only looks old, but has old man game to him.
Ooh.
I can't remember who it was that I said that about. Bill Russell was courtside at the Celtics-Lakers game, which was our game of the week.
Our game of the week, which, can I just say, I made the absolute correct call.
Oh, yes, for sure.
In using my one switch on the season to switch to this game. What a game.
One of the best regular season games.
Oh, my God.
First, let's talk about, is it okay to wear a basketball jersey over a button-down shirt?
Yes.
Okay. Have you done this?
I have done this. The reason it is okay, for one, is because it's not like he was going to wear it over a t-shirt. I mean, it's not like he's going to wear a t-shirt out. He's still, you know, I mean, I feel like Bill Russell.
And he wasn't going to just not have a shirt on.
Yeah. Like Bill Russell's the kind of guy who will wear like a, I mean, yeah, I think I could have seen him wearing like a Henley or like a long sleeve sweatshirt or something.
I would say either Patrick Ewing, Georgetown Hoya's gray shirt under.
Yeah.
Or just the jersey, but with like a suit coat. That's a thing, right?
That is a thing. That's kind of a more of a like Jake Paul kind of thing.
Oh boy! Well, that's not really what you want to do.
No, I don't think that's what.
Just a solid color button down underneath the jersey instead of a floral print?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possibly something that could have happened. My assumption is that what happened is that he made the decision late to wear this jersey,
and that makes sense.
Picked it up and was like, well, I'm already wearing this. Yeah. I was going to wear just the hat, but we've got the jersey now.
And where was that hat from?
That was a weird looking hat, wasn't it?
Oh, I like that hat.
I don't know.
It's a heart with KB in it?
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like it was...
From KB Toys?
KB Toys. It was a KB Toys hat. Rest in peace, KB Toys,
yes,
as well.
As well. So the game... Let me tell you my big takeaway from the game.
Yeah.
My big takeaway from the game is... you know, My concerns about the Lakers being a top heavy roster.
Yeah.
One way to alleviate that and make me feel better about that is for them to play a team that's even more top heavy.
Yeah.
Especially without Kemba Walker.
Yeah. I think that watching the Brad Wanamaker minutes.
Yeah.
And just seeing how the Lakers won the game in those minutes.
Yeah. And he had a good game.
And he had a good game, and still he was the worst player on the Celtics.
Yeah, he also, I will say, seemed to have like slippery hands throughout the game.
Did not have full control over the ball.
But yeah, especially without Kemba Walker, they just, and they got a massive game out of Jason Tatum.
They did. Jason Tatum looked fantastic.
Yeah.
It was like he was shining with the glow of feeling like he was a good basketball player, or maybe just shining because he still had the plastic saran wrap on his back for his new tattoo.
I was going to say, yeah, he had a tattoo or something, right?
Yeah.
I think he was just, you know, living out the all of the advice that Kobe gave him in the special ESPN Plus video series.
And, you know, this was where it works. This is where it works. And yeah. He gave the tribute.
Yeah, he had a good game. They did put up an interesting stat about Laker duos averaging 25 points or more. There's only been like two or three other pairs that have done it.
Yeah.
And also, I think this is the first time LeBron has had a teammate average more points than him.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That makes total sense.
So now, you know, he has some help. I want to say that I thought Rajon Rondo had a great game.
I think Rajon Rondo had a game where he was hyped up a lot by Mark Jackson.
Oh, I thought he had a great game.
I don't know. I thought he had some good plays in the first half.
Yeah. Right?
He had that stint that where he had a couple of steals and he had a couple of really good assists. Like the one where he got the offensive rebound and he passed behind his back.
Yeah.
That was an amazing play.
Yeah.
But I'm not here for the Mark Jackson Rondo reclamation tour. Like Mark Jackson needs to shut the hell up and let us shit on Rondo as much as we want.
Okay, I will say that's difficult because he's one of the commentators.
So yeah.
It's going to be less likely that he doesn't say anything. I'm not saying it's impossible.
That's fair. I don't think that Rondo had his worst game, and I think he had a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
But he was way outshadowed by the guy who had the best game of the night, who was not LeBron.
Uh-huh.
And that was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, boy.
KCP out here just killing it.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, transition. If you need a bucket, you pass the ball to KCP on the wing, and he's going to get you one.
Now, I think probably that maybe Mark Jackson was overestimating Rondo's game, and maybe you are overestimating KCP's game.
No, KCP was huge in this game. Yes, he only had, what, 12 points or something like that?
He had 7 points.
He had 7 points, okay.
And he had a plus two, plus minus.
I mean, and they won the game by?
Two. Okay. Yeah, so really, without him, they tie the game.
Exactly.
Rondo had a plus 15, by the way.
All right. You know what it was? It was that Rondo came in for that big run in the first quarter. And that was,
and then maybe sat out when they gave it back.
Yes, correct.
I mean, Kuzma also had a plus 17.
Yeah, Kuz's minutes were good. The one guy who I thought at the end of the game was like, that was not an impressive game from him, was Anthony Davis.
Oh, I mean,
he scored a ton of points.
Yeah,
and the entire time I watched him, I was like, he's just like missing a bunch of gimmies. Like the game could have been not as close as it was,
right,
if he would have shot well from the field. Would he shoot like 10 of 25, something like that?
10 of 25. He did get 6 offensive rebounds,
which is good.
What I like to see, honestly, with him,
because effectively that means that he shot like 10 of 19.
Right. Well, assuming he made all, which he made a lot of his putbacks. I just really like, I think in the era of seeing so many 3-point shots, I do like seeing Davis McGee and Dwight Howard just being like tall, big guys fighting in the post.
Yeah. And JaVale fights so hard.
Yeah. And Dwight fights too.
Dwight too. Yeah. I mean, the lot of them.
Yeah.
They fight for those rebounds, and they're like Larry H. Parker.
Who's Larry H. Parker?
He will fight for you. Larry H. Parker is a personal injury attorney from the Los Angeles area who had a ton of commercials on back when I was a kid.
Who's the one with all the billboards?
So there's a bunch of ones with the billboards. There's Jacob Imrani.
That's the one.
There's Sweet James Bergener.
Don't know him.
Oh, you got to know Sweet James Burger. He's the guy.
This is like Dr. Zizmore, the dermatologist in New York City subways.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's always, and then, you know, there's the Accidentes guy, the 222222222222. See on the back of the bus. For all you LA heads out there, there's just a ton of really good billboards that are also actually really bad.
I mean, in LA, the billboards are those people.
TVs.
Billboards that are strategically placed on the commute home for showrunners so that they feel that the studio is properly, they've shown that they scout out where they live.
So funny.
And they put up a billboard like where they'll see it. I mean, we're pushing your show.
Do you really have to scout out where your employee lives?
They scout out the path that they drive.
Okay. That's fair.
That was a thing when I moved here. It's like nowhere else in the country do they put up billboards for TV shows?
Yeah. Everywhere I ever go, it's always billboards for lawyers or billboards for...
And by the way, they probably should put up billboards for TV shows because I ran digital billboard ads for one of the plays that I produced in Orlando. And it was like dollars a day to do that. Yeah. Like it was very inexpensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about it, conversion rate on an online ad is probably much higher, you know, so you don't have to pay for as many clicks on your ad because nobody can get up to the billboard and touch it.
Well, tall people can do
tall,
it.
Like, tall, you know, people can.
Actually, conversions are decently good. You could track them by like how many people hit the landing page.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. With their car. I like seeing a lot of... Oh, by the way, the last set of billboard ads in LA are sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes, the American Healthcare Foundation.
Those are fun billboards.
Fun
billboards. They do have some creativity.
They do.
They're very apocalyptic.
Yeah, their marketing is wild. Oh, Scientology is the other big one.
Ah, yes, yes.
So don't forget about Scientology because they'll never forget about you.
I like seeing the passion of the interior play of the Lakers. And I will say that despite my reservations about... I just don't think the skill level from 1 to 15 is as sort of it's not a smooth arc. It's like hockey stick.
That's fair because you know, you can definitely have 15 active players for a roster.
But like this the talent level of our 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th players is not, it doesn't make me feel great about championship.
Well, chances. That has just changed.
Yes. Wait. Well, let me finish what I'm saying. Yeah. But I do think that there's fight from top to bottom on the roster.
That
I like to see.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I kind of would prefer that than a team of very talented players that wasn't coming together as a team.
So you don't want Andrew Wiggins on the team?
I don't know. We'll see. You know what? If any team can reclaim him, the Warriors can.
Oh.
But he's still got a shot for most improved.
Okay.
Well, the voting is not in yet.
I love how you're into this just because you want to see him win that award.
If he ended the season like doing 25 and 14 for the rest of the season,
yeah,
he'd get some votes.
Okay.
But you're right that the Lakers roster has is just added some more quote-unquote talent.
I mean, yeah.
Some more interior fight.
So, they got Markieff Morris.
Yes.
In a signing.
He was waived by the Detroit Pistons.
Not claimed by anybody in the league for his
signing. Now, how does this happen? Does he just say, like, fuck you guys, waive me?
No. I mean, the Pistons know they're not going anywhere, and he's on a one-year deal,
right,
so they can save a little bit of money by agreeing to a buyout with him.
Okay.
And so he'll give back a little bit of money, knowing that he'll make up some of that as he signs his next deal with another team. And he signed for a little bit more than the minimum salary because they used the disabled player exception that they got from signing DeMarcus Cousins and having him have a catastrophic injury.
Mm.
Also, DeMarcus Cousins was the guy who was waived to create the roster space for Markieff Morris.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to think about Markieff Morris other than it feels like what I want from this signing is to have him slot in, you know, up higher in the like 1 through 5 on the court in the second unit,
mm-hmm,
and maybe make it so that, you know, on the second unit, Kuzma plays the 3 instead of the 4, mm-hmm, and KCP plays the 2 instead of the 3,
yeah,
and Caruso plays the 1 instead of the 2, and Rondo plays Connect 4 instead of the 1
on the court.
Yeah. I mean, that's my hope, is that he pushes Rondo out of the lineup. But I think that my hope is going to be unfounded, because I think he's going to just take a little bit of minutes from everybody.
Right.
So I don't know. I think they're going to try to slot him in and go 10 deep. But it's interesting. I mean, he's in the active roster tonight for the game against the Pelicans, mm-hmm. which they have gotten out to a gangbuster start. I know you listened on this podcast for live updates of the Lakers right. game when you listen to it. But Lakers are out to a 12-2 lead.
Hell yeah.
Behind a couple of Danny Green three-pointers.
In the game right there.
But yeah.
Danny Green, I thought, had a not a great game against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I just want a little bit more just activity and consistency from him. And I just want, like, right, I still don't feel like right now we have a great outside threat. And he should be one of those.
He should be that guy.
Oh, and I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm just, you know, using the small sample size to cast aspersions against
his. Ooh.
Yeah. Any thoughts about the Celtics?
I thought that from the Celtics, everybody on that team is crap. I hate them so much. I thought that it felt like Jaylen Brown was a little invisible for a lot of that game. But then yes. you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, shit, he actually put some stuff together. And the broadcast highlighted a couple of times that he was playing good defense on LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, cool. He's got that. But Jason Tatum just looked so good from everywhere.
Like yeah.
he was just unstoppable, in a way that was like, well, I did not expect this. Especially he got to the free throw line 15 times.
Yeah.
Right. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's James Harden level, getting to the free throw line.
I didn't watch this live. I watched it later on replay and, yeah. Sunday, Lonzo Ball was trending Sunday on Twitter.
Ooh.
And I was like, why is Lonzo trending? And the main reason he was trending was people saying that the Lakers should have taken Tatum over him. and significant number of people saying that they should actually don't know why. Oh no, they weren't saying that they should have taken Kuzma. They're saying people compared Kuzma and Tatum at one point.
Yeah.
But no, people were just saying, just sort of out of nowhere, just being like, fuck Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
I was like, well, at least they didn't take Fultz.
Yeah. Oof. Yikes.
You know, yeah, the Lakers could have had Tatum and they could have had Donovan Mitchell at the same spot. But really, again, nobody knows shit about the draft.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks reiterate, it's so amazing how every year there's a consensus number one.
And Kuzma, when they picked him, was not expected to be a first rounder either.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Kuzma was graded as a second rounder because he was a 3-year guy out of Utah.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't a young gun, but
right.
he, like, the LA scouting people were like, we like this guy. So mm-hmm. they got him. So, I think Kuzma's still a success as a draft pick. And I mean, I think all of the guys they've drafted in the last couple of years have been success from a draft standpoint. I mean, Isaac Bonga is a starting three in this league. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
He starts every night for the Washington Wizards.
I did not know that. Does he stay in for like 5 minutes?
20 minutes. He plays 20 plus minutes a game.
Yeah, that's to get a starter out of a draft pick.
Yeah. And that was a late second round pick.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that the Lakers scouting department is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Yeah. How's Josh Jackson doing?
Josh Jackson of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yes. Or Josh Jackson from the Fox TV show Fringe and
Mighty Ducks.
The OC? Was he on the OC?
No, he was on Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. Which is the OC for people from a creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could almost put an all actors name.
Ooh.
Team. Josh Jackson.
Okay.
There's a Terrence Mann. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a Terrence Mann.
I don't know about that.
The original Rum Tum Tugger on New York Broadway Cats.
That's funny. Terrence Mann for the Clippers. Yeah. There's a Terrence Mann.
Yeah. I would just love it if there was like a, Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts trained Shakespearean actor named Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Okay, I will say this about the Celtics. I think it's depressing to watch Gordon Hayward play.
Ooh.
I just feel it actually, to be honest, it almost makes me wonder, like, why. I know that he went through a horrific injury.
Yeah.
But it almost makes me think, like, why did we ever think he was good?
Whoa.
he's having a much improved season over last year, by the way.
Yes, he is. And the broadcasters were quick to point out that he is much better this year than he was last year.
He is much better this year than last year. But I still think it's depressing to watch him play.
Because he should have been that, like, max salary guy.
Yeah.
And he's not playing like it.
I think that, so I guess what no one would ever ask him this in an interview. I would just like to know, like, what physically is something you could do before the injury that you can't now, that is why you aren't as effective as you used to be?
You know what it is?
What?
He can't jungle like he used to.
He can't jungle?
No.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, because, like, he gets ganked all the time.
Oh, my God. This is some MOBA.
You know, Gordon Hayward plays MOBAs.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
He plays League, right?
League of Legends got an entire ad campaign based around his injury and his comeback.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, I was thinking the other day, like, should I play League? And I've tried before and it didn't click.
Yeah.
But, like, apparently it's easier than Dota.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to play an easier game, but
it's also, you know, matches are shorter, community is more toxic,
and you can just quit. No, because, like, they have a concede function.
Yes, they do, which Dota does not have.
Yeah, Dota, you just have to stick it out. And I will say, at the MMR that I play at, I've played in plenty of games that seemed like they were over,
and then you came back.
Oh yeah, because below a certain level of skill, like I'm like. You know what I am is I was average in the formerly large Dota pool of players.
Yeah.
And now I would say I'm in the lower tiers because all the, like, casual people that didn't play that well quit.
Yeah.
So at these levels, people can throw games all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. All you have to do is get team wiped, and then you go down mid, kill the racks, and then just go for the throne.
You go for the throne.
So Gordon Hayward, I have just a tiny little suspicion that maybe his performance was a little overblown in Utah, and that maybe he's just sort of at the level he probably should have been the whole time. Because he's averaging 17 points a game.
Now, that's what I would call a hot take.
Well, when he was at Utah, how good were those teams?
I think those teams were good.
Were they? Did they make the playoffs?
They did make the playoffs. I think that was the year that they beat the Clippers in the playoffs. One of those, the last Lob City year.
Uh-huh.
That was that year.
I guess I could just look at what his playoff stats are like. He's been in the playoffs. He was in the playoffs twice with Utah.
Yeah.
In 2011-12, I guess that would have been his first year. They only played four games, so I'm assuming they got swept.
Yes.
And then, yeah, the second year they went 11 games.
Yeah, they beat the Clippers, and then I think they lost in the second round was the deal, because they played seven, and then they probably got four in the next one. And then there was that year that they didn't...
Did you say they got swept by the Warriors?
Yeah.
The next round, yeah.
There was a year that they didn't make the playoffs in the game that Kobe scored 60 points against him.
Oh, that was to keep them out of the playoffs?
I believe they were out of the playoffs.
Because I don't remember there being anything actually important about that game.
I think they were out of the playoffs. Right.
That's Celtics-Lakers.
Yeah. Even though KCP only had 7 points, I was going off in my group chat about his defense, about his hustle.
He had a steal and a dunk.
It was so good. He was instrumental in annoying Jason Tatum into fouling him in the last play of the game.
Mm.
That was a game-winning play.
The offensive foul?
Yes. It was a game-winning play by KCP. It was also a game-losing play by Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But it was a game-winning play by KCP.
I thought that was a very bold call.
Yeah.
Because normally they always talk about people swallowing their whistles. But then I was kind of like, well, he kind of did elbow him in the throat. So I'm not sure what, you know... Boy, do I wish that someone had called a foul on Michael Jordan when he pushed Brian Russell. Byron Russell?
Brian Russell.
When they pushed Brian Russell aside to make that jump shot. Because that's like the most famous offensive foul that there has ever been in the NBA. I was like, well, you know, if I was the one that got elbowed in the throat, I'd be like, oh, that's not a foul. Anyway, it doesn't matter because he missed a shot.
Yeah. I on Twitter after the game, I self-reported myself to the LAPD to turn myself in for having ever said anything bad about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, boy.
Both on Twitter or on the podcast. So,
and how did they respond?
They didn't respond. I didn't even get a like from LAPD on the... it was very rude. I mean, I think LAPD should have sent me at least a like or a retweet. Mm. But I'm willing to go into central booking to get processed for my crime of saying something bad about KCP, who has had... a great season and is playing fantastic for our Los Angeles Lakers.
Is he really having a great season?
He's having a great season.
Oh. Did you get a chance to watch the Kobe Memorial?
I did. I turned it on.
He's averaging 9 points. He's right. I'm just looking at stats.
It's a great season.
Yeah. He's averaging below double digits for the first time since his rookie year. Let's see. He's shooting 46. He's shooting less. But he's efficient.
He's shooting less. He's efficient.
That's all you can ask for.
And he's playing defense, and he's getting out there, and he's doing the hustle thing. Yeah, nobody on the Lakers besides Anthony Davis and LeBron James is having an impressive scoring year. Mm. But it's that thing, right?
The fight.
Where they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players averaging between 7 and 10 points a game.
Yeah.
Right? And so... all they need are like one or two of those guys to get hot. And
we had this conversation
yes,
before.
Yes, we did. And I'm putting it in the world. I'm putting it into the world again.
You just need 4 out of 7 games, one of those players to score 20 points.
Yeah.
Or two of them to score like 15.
Yeah. And then you got to... so yeah, that's it's just you gotta keep flipping that coin and it'll come up
and you kind
JaVale
of
McGee one night.
You kind of have to never have... you can't have 4 games like this where LeBron and... Davis scored over like 30 points and everybody else kind of just tanked it.
I mean, that's
what Kuzma had like 16.
Kuzma had 17 in this game.
Yeah.
And yeah, I, you know.
Well, they still won.
All I'm saying.
This would have been you know, it's interesting to see what, like if Kemba Walker had been in the game, I think it would have been tougher.
Yeah.
I only saw highlights from the Kobe Memorial.
Yeah.
Of course, I saw Michael Jordan's highlights.
Yes, you did.
Which were pretty, you know, a couple things happened this week where I was like, oh, I kind of like you. I always just like when people are more human than not.
Yeah.
I was just watching the Democratic debates.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that?
I am too in my feelings to watch much of the Democratic debates.
Yes, yes. I agree. I hate people. I can't stand
them. It's so tough.
But I did appreciate... Joe Biden's not my favorite candidate. I don't like a lot of his policies. But did you... he was like... he was answering a question and she was like, Senator or Vice President, that's your time. And he stopped and he was like, why am I stopping? No one else stops. And it was so fun. He just kind of sat there and everyone just started laughing, you know, genially. It was a like very like funny, warm hearted moment. And I was like, I like Joe Biden. Like,
yeah.
And honestly, if for whatever reason he ends up being the nominee with all the nomination, not like throughout the history of the Democratic Party, the candidates always show more personality after the run is over or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, just show some personality. Just honestly, if you do that, your policies don't matter. You will win.
Yeah.
Like if you're just a fun dude. And I felt the same way about Jordan. I was like, oh, this is a bit of humanity.
Yeah.
To the, you know, his Hall of Fame speech was not a great example of that.
No, he was kind of a dickhead.
Yeah.
In his whole Hall of Fame
speech.
I didn't
feel that in this one.
No. Yeah. And I mean, you just tell how sad everybody was. And
yeah.
It was nice that, you know, they had so many different types of people come up and talk about Kobe and, you know, how strong and sweet it was to hear Vanessa talk about Gianna and Kobe. And yeah, I just, you know, that was sad.
Should I go watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you... yeah, you definitely should, for sure.
Then I will. What other basketball news do we have this week?
Big news in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons, he's got a back.
Oh.
Some nerve injury in his back. And
yeesh.
He's out for at least 2 weeks.
Oh.
And they are preparing for the possibility that they will be without him for a period of months. So Ben Simmons, maybe you should have sat out the flipping All-Star game.
So are they thinking that the idea, I guess, would be like try to rest him and have him back for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that could happen, but also, you know, it's a weird back nerve injury. Who knows what could happen?
Ooh, people in their backs.
People in their backs.
Larry Bird on the side of the court.
Oh, yeah.
Laying on his stomach.
Steve Nash with back stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron James has had back stuff. Yeah. Not too much. Who else? There's somebody else who was always... Dirk.
Uh-huh.
Dirk had a bunch of back stuff.
Yeah.
Hips and legs, too.
So he's out to potentially... Well, you know what? Like, I bet they're going to ride that line between... How long can we rest him and how long can we preserve a good playoff seed?
Yeah.
I would assume you want home court.
I think so.
Seems like people want home court. So they have a little bit of work to do. They're in the fifth spot right now.
Yes, they are in the fifth spot. I don't know if it's reasonable for them to expect to be better than Miami over the course of the season.
Or the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, Indianapolis has fallen off a lot. Uh-huh. But, I mean, really the whole... Like, everybody in the East except for the top three teams is, like, fallen off a lot.
Functionally, if they can get to the fourth spot, which they could. I mean, they're only one game behind Miami. If they can get to the fourth spot, they can get at least home court for the first round.
Yeah.
And the second round. No. No, first round. So functionally, there's really no difference between getting that fourth spot and the third spot.
Yes.
Like
the only difference would be...
don't kill yourself to get the third.
The only difference is that you have to play Indiana instead of having to play Miami.
Right, which you would want, I think.
I think so.
You'd rather play Indiana.
Yes.
Let's just look at one little thing. Miami's so far has the 28th easiest schedule.
Remaining?
Yeah.
Or so far? No,
so far.
Okay.
We were just talking about Philadelphia. Philadelphia so far has had the ninth hardest.
Okay.
So their remaining schedules are probably beneficial to the Sixers,
I would
assume. So maybe that will be good.
Great question.
The Magic are in the playoffs.
Magic are in the playoffs.
I mean, they were in the first round.
They were in the playoffs last year. They won their division.
Yeah.
The biggest winning streak in the league right now belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hell yeah.
So don't get it twisted. The Bucks lost recently. Okay. So
the Bucks also continue to look very good.
They're so good.
They're 9-1 over the last 10.
Yeah. And they won a close game with Washington yesterday, which nobody wants there to be a close game with Washington. But, you know, hey, it's a shootout, baby.
Oh, and I think the Bucks were the clinched playoff spot the earliest any team has ever clinched it.
Yes, which is so funny because even in that year that the Warriors clinched very early, they didn't clinch it this early because the rest of the West wasn't as bad as the rest of the East.
Right, the gap between them and the rest of the... And the thing is like... It's really the gap between them and the ninth team, basically.
That's correct.
And right now there is a 28-game gap between in the loss column between them and the Washington Wizards.
That's big. That's a big gap.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Right now the Lakers are 20 games ahead of the Portland Trailblazers and the New Orleans Pelicans in the loss column. I think the Bucks actually are good enough that there's really – and in a way it's like – they're playing great basketball, but they're kind of a boring team to talk about right now because they are playing well enough and good enough that it's really just like a, well, let's just see what happens in the playoffs. There's not much more to talk about them dominating this regular season. And I think if they're smart at a, you know, about a month from now, they might look at some load management because they're not going to get caught in the Eastern Conference. And there's a good chance the Lakers don't catch them either.
Yeah.
So, there isn't that much, like, especially about Giannis, there isn't that much to say about him as a regular season performer anymore. He's dominant. He's going to be the MVP. So one of the only like the thing that's interesting is like, can he sustain that level in the playoffs when people are game planning for him? Is the team, you know, how is this team as a team that where the element of surprise and the like the fact that people just don't prepare that much during the regular season, how much of it is going to be affected by that?
I mean,
and there's no way to know, really.
I mean, you can just look at what happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that he's better.
Yeah.
And more prepared that over than over last year.
And that they don't have to face a supernova Fred Van Vliet in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure. But they probably will.
There's a good chance.
They'll have to face some form of Fred Van Vliet. Some, you know, what are the different levels of Pokemon?
So you got different levels of Pokemon, and they don't have a name between their evolutions.
Okay.
Right? It's not like there's like base evolution and master evolution. There's just like different evolutions of a Pokemon.
Where does the like rare type thing come from?
There's no rare type.
Is that different thing?
I mean, I don't know what it is that you're thinking about.
Somebody said like, oh, I got a special rare. They didn't say like, oh, I got a rare whatever.
Did they get a shiny?
Maybe it's a shiny.
So shinies don't have anything to do with how good a Pokemon is. It's just like a different color, and it's very rare to get.
Okay.
So,
just as an example, last year during the regular season, Giannis was made 58% of his shots.
Woo!
Which is good.
I don't know. I don't know. 58%. That's
yeah. I mean, that's he's missing almost half his shots.
Yeah, Shaq definitely shot better from the free throw line.
And then in the playoffs, he shot 49%.
Womp womp womp.
So
that's lower.
That's lower.
I'm just gonna say it out here. People don't want to talk about it, but that's lower.
And by the way, that's still pretty good. But like, I want to see him blossom into like playoff killer.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. Because I do remember last year in the playoffs being like, oh, he can be kind of his game. The fact that his game is a little bit limited from the outside, I don't think matters much in the regular season. But I remember the playoffs feeling, oh, like you can kind of corral him in a way.
Yeah.
Almost in a way that's like, there might be other players who are worse than him that are harder to corral.
Yeah.
In a playoff situation.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of them are perimeter players.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think we just got to wait and see if his supporting cast can support him in a way that makes sense for that team. Because, you know, Chris Middleton has been playing out of his mind this year.
Right.
Bledsoe has been not as good as he was last year.
Our favorite player.
He's your favorite player for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, you've got two big brutes in the Lopez brothers who aren't shooting as well as they should be. But other than that, it's like this team runs people over.
Like, now, when we get to like further on in the playoffs, if the Clippers and the Lakers are in the, say, Western Conference Finals, instead of playing that series, they can opt to become one team and have both the Morris brothers on the same team.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this LA merger for a while where the Clippers get absorbed into the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I think that if, you know, there's a Clippers-Lakers Western Conference Finals, it should be like a Mega Man scenario where you beat a boss and you get to absorb their power and use it in the next round against the next guy.
Or I was going to say, as an old school Transformers thing.
Yeah.
Predaking.
Ooh.
Which was five dinosaur Transformers.
Whoa.
Now, I don't really know what that means now that I think about it, but they were Transformers that were dinosaurs.
I mean, it was...
They were robots.
Was it before Beast Wars?
I believe so.
Okay. Because there was definitely some dinosaur stuff because, you know, Transformers have been around since dinosaurs, of course. That's part of the canon.
Right. Predaking was five dinosaur Transformers that can become one gigantic.
And this was a toy or this was part of the...
It was a toy and part of the cartoon.
Yeah, it makes sense that they have a toy that you have to buy five toys for.
Yeah, and actually, the thing that would make less sense would them to... this is English. The thing that would make less sense would be for them to introduce a bunch of new characters and then not create toys for them.
Yeah,
that would actually be pretty ballsy.
That'd be pretty
to be
tough.
Like, you can't participate in this at all.
And Disney almost did it this year. They didn't have any Baby Yoda merch.
Shockingly unprepared for that.
Shockingly,
And they ramped it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of merch, my Navarro cheer shirt, still selling well.
Ah, congratulations.
As far as I know, I don't think any of the other ones that I made are selling.
But you got that bump because people need their cheer fix.
Yeah, and it's just that like it's hard to get from anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, anything else going on?
Let's see what else is up in the NBA. I guess we didn't talk about the other signings from last week. We missed those. So let's talk about the Rockets.
Okay.
The Rockets, using their last two roster spots, signed Damari Carroll after he went through waivers with the Spurs. Mm-hmm. The Spurs bought him out of 3 years of his deal.
Yeesh.
Because he wasn't playing at all. And then Jeff Green, who was not playing anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two guys that they signed with their deal. So now everybody on the roster, minus Isaiah Hartenstein, who goes between the G League and the NBA, mm-hmm. and Tyson Chandler, who is, you know, 7 feet tall. Everybody else on the team, 6'8 or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
They are living small ball to the extreme, and they have been playing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been running teams off the floor. They've been shooting the three with abandon, I guess without abandon.
I will say that Westbrook has been playing very well.
I mean, did anybody think that Russell Westbrook could change in the way that he did and that he was going to stop chucking a bunch of threes and that he was going to play a little more under control and but also
I did not
be like a center? Like, he plays center for them. He's playing point center for them, basically.
I did not think so because he has not traditionally shown a real willingness to, like, accommodate.
No, but guess what?
He is.
He is, and he's playing fantastically. James Harden has
gone
up and down.
Yeah, he actually has had some slumps, and Westbrook has kind of carried them through some of them.
Yeah, and Covington, their trade deadline pickup, has been out of this world for them.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Lakers a couple of weeks ago, and the only team that they've lost to, I think, was the Suns, and they were missing either Westbrook or Harden or somebody. Yeah, they're great.
Now, this is amazing, and so this is the thing. This is the great question, I think, for them is can Westbrook sustain this? He's shooting 47% from the field,
which is probably 6 percentage points higher than his career.
His career is 43.5.
Okay, so
but like he has never shot this well
yeah.
in his entire career, including last year where he shot 43%. Still. Like, actually, I think him and Harden's three-point percentages are not great. I think Harden's is, like, average. Westbrook is shooting, like, 25%. But, like, for him to shoot that well is...
I mean, it shows that he's getting to the rim.
Yeah. By the way, what was the thing you said once about, like, if you shoot this from three, that's good?
If you shoot 32% from three...
Well, then it's equivalent to like 50%
yes.
in the field or whatever. Yeah. But like people generally in the league aren't happy with 32%.
Yeah, 35% is like you're like, you got to guard that guy.
Okay. Harden is shooting 35.9.
Great. And you know, if he was shooting 34.9, I still think you kind of got to guard him.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out there. I think people should try to guard James Harden.
The Rockets are playing well. I don't think it'll sustain,
So we'll see. I think this speaks to your point of not prepping in the regular season.
Yeah.
Right? They are doing this radical shift in the regular season. They're going from a full demon build that can't compete to a poison divine shield Murloc build comp.
Oh.
That, like, people are not prepared for that switchover, and they did it in one turn with a Bran and a couple of Megasaurs, and right. It's like, we don't expect this, but over a 7-game series, I think people will be able to game plan for
that. They're going to hit a part of the ladder where the meta, everyone knows what the meta is.
Everybody knows what the meta is.
So they're just not going to, people aren't going to run classes that the Murloc build is good against.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking ladder. I'm talking Battlegrounds. We got our...
Yeah, I don't even know what Battlegrounds is.
Ooh, you got to play Battlegrounds.
I will say, just checked, I've sold 77 shirts on TeePublic.
Wow.
I have made $180.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's shout out to all our friends at Netflix for giving us the idea.
Go to TeePublic and look up the Navarro Cheer t-shirt with a Texas outline on it, and that's what I've been selling.
Hell yes.
Do you have any shows this week?
Let's see. I got a show in a half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the Copper Still Comedy Hour.
Oh, very close.
And then I got a Deuce Truce Ex Machina show on Thursday. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm performing pretty much exclusively on the Thursday shows that I produce. So,
what is the Copper Still Comedy Show? Since it's like walkable from here,
yeah, it's a variety show. So, different improv teams host it. They have it every Tuesday.
Ah.
And Baranoia is an improv team that hosts it, and they have teams that are they have improv, they have stand up, they have storytelling, they have music. You know, they just
how many nights fill it a week up. Does comedy Copper Still have comedy?
I know that the people who do it on Tuesdays. I don't know how many nights they have comedy in that back room. Because have you been to the back room there?
Yes, I did an American Town Hall there once.
Yeah. So the
you go in is to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is essentially. I know the people who do it on Tuesdays. It could happen any other day of the week. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
This week I will actually not be in Magic to do this week.
Taking a break, a magic break.
But I should be back after that. And then, I'm returning to Baby Wants Candy on Fridays at some point. So, cause I'm basically recovered.
Yeah.
I'm at, I'd say 95% recovered.
You look great.
Yeah. No, now truly no one notices. It's just, I can feel where I can't quite move my face.
Yeah.
The right way.
But. Should we be checking out for your appearances on any other show?
This week, I should be on Superstore.
Yes, excellent.
Week.
Great.
And it might even be this week I'll be on Stumptown.
Ooh.
And I'm going Friday to be on Stumptown again.
That's great. Let's get you a regular on Stumptown.
Well, yeah. So now I'm currently recurring on two national shows.
That's
which
awesome.
Is great. But yeah, you can watch this week's episodes of Stumptown and Superstore. And you can determine whether or not you think you can detect symptoms of Bell's palsy. And I will just give you a hint. You can. I think if I didn't know, I think even if I didn't tell you, you'd be like, what's that's a weird character choice. So, all right. So we'll talk to you. Oh, what's our game of the week?
Oh, yeah.
We got
with
Lakers.
One. We got to go with the Lakers. Let's go with the second Pelicans game. Because they're playing the Pelicans right now.
Right.
But they believe they are playing the Pelicans again next. Oh, no. They're playing. Yeah, the Pelicans on Sunday. Yeah, let's do that one in New Orleans.
Okay, cool. Sunday, the March 1st.
March 1st.
Sunday, the 1st of March.
Yeah, it was either Lakers-Warriors, Lakers-Grizzlies, Lakers-Pelicans. I'm saying Lakers-Pelicans.
I think we'll pick up with the Warriors at some point later in the season once Curry's sort of back in his flow. I know he's coming back soon.
He's coming back soon, Sunday,
but,
I believe.
But I wouldn't expect that to be a great game.
No.
So Sunday, we're going Lakers-Pelicans.
Love it.
Game of the week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.